Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this looks great. We'd love to have you tonight. Plus, if the Warriors find their way up 2-0, you can throttle back any sort of sense of urgency you have about getting him back. You go to Portland, maybe you find a way to get a split up there. You come back and close here in five. I don't think you're going to see him. That would be my projection. I don't think you're going to see him. If I have to lock something in, I don't think you see Durant in the series.
I can
see that. I don't see it going seven. If it got to seven, I probably think you're going to see him there. He's going to have to play, but I don't see it going seven.
Yeah, I can totally understand. I could see it kind of both ways. It's interesting. You know, hopefully we'll get back to that bet, you know, with me and Dibs later.
I'd like to get back to it right now, actually, when you're done with your take. Thank you for reminding me.
Kevin Durant. And I know I said maybe, hey, this, if Portland pushes him, maybe it's game six and seven, he'll play. Now, let's just talk about, and just, you can just say check, or you can just give me the bell, whatever you want. If you say Kevin Durant, has he been the MVP of the league?
Yes.
Kevin Durant, has he been to an NBA final?
He has.
Has he been the MVP of the finals?
He has. He's also won the finals, if that's coming. I'm going to throw that out there.
And he's won a couple titles.
Couple chips, couple Larrys.
So, just outside looking in, if you're his agent or you're Kevin Durant, of course I can win another title on this team, maybe. But am I off the hook now? Think about just for his agent and where he's at, if he's gone or whatever. Does he have to play? Is he off the hook now? And because of the situation, this guy's got a strained calf, it could be slightly torn. Does it behoove him to play and risk his health long-term to play any more this year? Why, if you're Kevin Durant, you're off the hook now. You don't. Hey, look, I was balling. I put up numbers that the association has never seen. Does it behoove him for him and his representative to go out and play and jeopardize that when you're getting ready to be a free agent?
So are we talking about legacy and reputation, or are we just talking about your health for next season?
I'm talking about health for next season. I'm talking about reputation, legacy, and everything. Does he get a pass now? And if you just look at it in that sense, man, you can sit back and say, man, this guy may not play again. Why would you?
May not play again for the rest of the playoffs.
Right.
All right, this is a bit of an abrupt left turn. I see what you're doing. I think as the truest of competitors, if he feels healthy and ready to go, healthy enough, he's going to go. I don't know the medical diagnosis in terms of how he could make this worse should he play on it. Interesting point. When you are at the top of the mountain like he is, you're going to face criticism no matter what. You're never going to get a free pass because there's always going to be haters. There's never a scenario in which you can do anything and you will be universally liked. Like right now, just think through your minds of the most famous athletes of all time. Who are the most universally liked? The ones who have like the highest approval ratings across any sport. Who comes to mind? Like not Brady. Peyton Manning was pretty likable. Pretty likable, I would say. His approval rating was pretty high. You'd have the haters try to cut him down. He only won one, and then he won the second, and he didn't even really help. But I'd say that was minimal. Who else is out there? Like, who's at the top?
Cal Ripken Jr., a guy who was much beloved. Probably a little further back than you were looking to go.
No, that's fine.
Well, Jordan. Yeah. Jordan was loved by...
I mean, he was very popular, but there are a lot of people who... You know,
Tiger wasn't loved. Tiger's not wasn't he, but now
no, because you have the haters, and I, you know, you have to say you have the racists too who do not want to root for Tiger Woods, but he's got a pretty high rating. I mean, that what he was doing at the Masters was pretty high, but there are a lot of people that want to cut him down based on, you know, the indiscretions that have happened in his life. Point being, no matter what Durant does, he's going to face heat anywhere. He stays, he faces heat. He leaves, he faces heat. He wins, he faces heat. He loses, he faces heat. That's just the territory. Doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's even realistic.
Right.
That's just life.
And you just said earlier in the segment. I mean, a couple while back, you said if he goes out there and he plays and doesn't play well, we're going to be on him. And here's a guy that has a strained calf, that muscles are, you know, could be slightly torn. And so if he goes out there and it's, man, Durant shouldn't have been playing. Oh, Durant he cowered out, or he didn't look good. Man, they shouldn't. Steve Kerr shouldn't have played him if his jump shot's not going. I just look at this thing. Is this out there? Would he even play anymore the rest of the season?
What do you make of this?
I mean, think it's typical, is what it is. It's typical. Just it's Chicken Little stuff. It's trolling.
You see, now wait a minute. You can't do that. I didn't do that last week when I suggested the idea that maybe you rest the starters in Game 6 because Houston was so cooked you weren't going to need them to play. And that we are playing a game of revisionist history. I'm going to my grave saying that that's the reason why. You can't. But I didn't get to do that.
He's trolling. When you know this is what he's doing.
You can't just throw off the headset and turn off the microphone. That's not how it works.
You had a legitimate reason why you said to Houston, this guy comes at me right now for no reason. He's just doing it like I'm trolling. Is that really?
That's true. I'm going to need some evidence to back that up.
I was going to provide evidence, but he was too busy throwing his headset down. I get a lot of heat on this program for being a baby, and I've reacted in babyish manners many, many times. Yet you're going to spike the headphones? Let's just remember this next time you're coming at me for being immature and pouty face when things don't go my way. I feel as if you're trolling. And yes, he has a calf strain that could be a slight tear. And if he really wanted to just shut it down, he would have shut it down. He would have said, look, it's grade 2. I can't come back. I'm out for the playoffs. But the fact that he's trying to come back, or at the very least, he's putting on the front that he wants to come back, tells me that he's not worried about his legacy. He wants to win another chip.
What all due respect.
Another Larry.
Another Bill.
And you keep joking around again.
About what?
About another Larry, another Bill. He's showing he's going to go out there. He would say he's shutting it down. Has Boogie Cousins said he's shutting it down? Do you know that coaches sit there and they make scouting reports, Joe, and tell this guy that they say, oh, this guy, he's going to play again. He's going to do this. Do you think Boogie really might play again? Come on. There's a lot of things that coaches do because they want the opponent, the other team, to know, hey, look, this is what we're putting out there. So for you to sit here and think that I'm just joking and kidding around, how dare you? You know coaches do that.
All right, we'll put it to the people.
Trolling. Chilton. I didn't say joking and kidding around. I said you're trolling.
Chilton, Auto Body Text Line, 95795. Do you side with Lowe? Do you side with Dibs? And what
I'm
should
making
we
a
do
statement.
For a bet? What should we do for a bet? Lowe has the Warriors in 7. Dibs has the Dubs in 5. We're trying to find a way that these two can put a wager together. Something on the line. We'll take all suggestions. Chilton Auto Body Text Line, 95795. All of that is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Greg Pop at 8:30. Here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Ticket Crushers. The Western Conference Finals begins tonight. Warriors host the Blazers, and Kevin Durant has been ruled out for tonight's game. He'll be reevaluated on Thursday, so it's unlikely he'll play in Game 2. Steve Kerr gave an update on KD's injury.
He hasn't even stepped on the floor yet. He still has pain, so there's some time ahead of him on the rehab process. So we'll have a more detailed update on Thursday.
Now, while DeMarcus Cousins hopes to get back sooner rather than later, Kerr also said there's no timetable for Boogie to return. Greg Papa will preview the series with Joe Lowe and Diz. That's coming up at 8:30. Coverage of tonight's game starts with Warriors Live at 4:30. And we're giving away tickets to Game 2. We've qualified the first listener today. Your next chance is tomorrow and Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Tickets courtesy of Realtor.com. Draft lottery is tonight. The guys will talk about the ping pong ball battle with NBA insider for ESPN Amin El Hassan, and the Sharks fall to St. Louis 4-2. We'll hear more from the children when we get back. But first, I'm Anna Kagadaikis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Because, baby, now we got bad blood. You know we used to be bad love. So take a look what you've
Joe
done.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues, baby, on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. It's great to have you back. There is still time for you to get in on the contest that will provide you an opportunity to win tickets to Game 2 Thursday night, 6 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game, Warriors Blazers. Go to Realtor.com/Warriors. That's Realtor.com/Warriors. And enter the code word REAL, R-E-A-L, REAL, for a chance to win tickets. I don't know what the hell to do here. Pop at 8:30 in the break. We're outside. Lowe's pushing this KD agenda on me, trying to tell me, do you really think I'm trolling? We get into a whole side discussion, yelling at each other, screaming. Dibs completely checks out of the
totally
scenario, which
out.
I can't blame you. You were trying to relax on the couch during the break. And you're right. Could that be a troll-free zone?
It should be a safe space. I mean, I know in here is not safe as much as I had longed for it to be such. I thought
the prison yard rarely is.
Yeah, and that's fine, and I get that. And here we are, and I'm doing a long stretch here at Loica. Not Attica, but Lotica.
Wow.
And I just asked Lo. I said, hey, here's an idea. I suggested to Lo, why don't you run your Cockamania KD material for Greg Papa at 8:30, and we'll see. And I know you're going to ask him, and I look forward to hearing his retort about three questions into the interview, so about 8:42.
He's usually willing to look at both sides and weigh it evenly.
Always. Reasonable. Very reasonable. He's got the gravitas we're looking for.
Is he going to say that Lo's out of his mind, like you last week?
No, he's going to be too busy ripping me for last week, and then he'll tell you what he thinks, and then, you know, it'll be 8:50, and we'll be done. That'll be the end of the interview, and it'll be a great interview as always, because everyone always loves hearing him. I love hearing from him. Tuesdays and Thursdays, 8:30 every single week. We can jump back to the Warriors in a second. I wanted to weigh in on something really quickly here regarding the Giants. Today, they are going to try something that Farhan Zaidi alluded to during the offseason. And why do I not have these notes directly in front of me? Whatever. They're going with an opener today, right? They're not going to go with the starter. Beattie was the guy who was listed. Instead, they're going to the bullpen, and they're going to try this strategy that teams like the Tampa Bay Rays have put into play. I think we saw the Brewers maybe try this during the playoffs. I don't remember. The point is, a lot of people are up in arms. They don't like the strategy. They don't want to see this. And Derek Holland, very upset over the weekend, being moved to the bullpen, talking about how they shut him down earlier with a fake injury, and he was kind of calling out the front office. People are siding with him, and all this is going on. Just stop. Everybody just stop with the front office criticism. Everybody just stop with all the transactions and all the things that are happening. Nobody cares if you don't like it. This is an experimentation season. You do realize this team is not going anywhere. It's not winning anything. It's a bad baseball team, and that's not a surprise. It's been a bad baseball team. Coming into the season, they were projected to be a bad baseball team. 40-some games into the season, they are a bad baseball team. That's fine. That's fine. Let's accept reality for what it is. They're not a good team. But now you have someone new who's barely been here all of 5 minutes trying to implement some different strategies, trying to try some different things to see what he's got. Why is that a problem? Why is that a problem for anyone? You're not going to win. So why not make the most out of this season and experiment a little bit? See what works. See what doesn't. This is testing grounds. This is testing grounds. If you are in competition for a wild card spot, if you're chasing down a pennant, you're not going to try stuff like this because there are small margins for error, especially when you play in a place like the AL East, Yankees, Red Sox, the way the Rays are playing this season, it's legit baseball there. You're in the cellar of your division, which is where you're projected to be. So experimenting, trying an opener today versus Tyler Beattie, is that really a big deal? Derek Holland, is it that big of a deal that you got moved to the bullpen? You stink. Your ERA is north of 6. You stink. Guys who are really good don't get moved to the bullpen. I don't see Max Scherzer getting moved to the bullpen for the Nationals. Why? Because he's a really good starter. And guess what really good starters do? They start. That's what they do. They start. Holland stinks. He's upset with the way he's being treated. No one cares what you think. Your ERA is just south of 7. You're going to the bullpen. Deal with it. No one wants to hear the complaining from a losing team about the problems you may or may not have from management while you're still getting paid full salary and performing at a very low level. So that's my rant on that. I don't know if anyone wants to jump in on that, but all this nonsense about how people are so upset with Zaidi. Why? He's been here 5 minutes. How did you think this was going to go this year?
And how did you think he was going to be? And did you think that he wouldn't come in and use analytics and try to do some of the new school ways of thinking? Did you think that he would be a guy who would come in and say in March, here's my 5 starters. Each guy is going to get 32 starts this year. A couple of them will get that extra one, so 33 starts, and that's it. No one else will be a starting pitcher for this team. And, Joe, you look at the situation, and, lo, there's the old adage of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, you do fix it, or you try to fix it. And it's not only Derek Holland with a 6.75. Drew Pomerantz's ERA is just below 6. Derek Rodriguez is about 5. Madison Bumgarner, 4.04. Only Jeff Samardzija, the innings eater, he actually leads the starters in ERA. He's been downright decent, if not pretty good. But
he's been terrible. He's been terrible.
3.51 ERA.
The guy takes the mound and immediately spots the opposing team 3 runs. That's not anything. That's not even eating innings. That's literally the first inning. He hasn't eaten a inning.
He's eaten 41 innings. Second on the team. I got to tell you, he's looked good.
Yeah. What are his numbers? What's his ERA right now?
3.51. The
wow.
best. The
somebody,
best among
somebody
the group.
Call Can, yeah. You know what? Call Can because he's going in the NFL Hall of Fame along with the Major League Baseball Hall.
Half
of Fame.
A run better than Madison Bumgarner and more than a run better than everybody else. The point is, your rotation is struggling. So if that means you got to go with an opener. Go with an opener. And like you said, your team's not doing very well. Let's see what you have for the season.
If you were out here doing the same thing you've been doing for the last few years, I'd be furious. I'd be furious. This is taking full advantage of your situation. Experiment a little bit. Obviously, you're not going to be good. You're not going to win the division. That's fine. People realize that. Try to do a couple interesting things down at the ballpark to get people in the door. They have scored some runs this year. They've been a better watch than they have in years past, but people are upset at all the roster moves, the churning, the burning, probably the fact that Nick Vincent's going to start today. Nobody likes that because we fear things we don't understand. I don't get it. Why would a guy from the bullpen start the game? Who cares? Have you seen how the Giants start games? They get lit up right out of the gate. How often are they down 2-0 before you even turn the game on? Because right. These games start at 6:45 now. 7:05. I might as well see what Krug and Kime have to say. We're down 3-0. Let me guess. It's Samardzija. Guess it's, what? It is.
It
That's the answer to that question.
Yeah,
it is.
I totally understand, you know, the frustrations. And I think that the organization in general, and it starts with the ownership. Ownership understands, hey, it's just like a restaurant. If you go to a restaurant and the food's not good, the owner's going to say, you know what? I have to change the menu. So what does he do? He goes out and he fires a chef and he puts in a new chef. And the new chef is going to be able to make the decisions he needs to do to change the food. And this is no different. You have the ownership, the Giants, saying, I'm bringing in a new guy, and that's Zaidi. And I'm going to let him change the menu and change the food and do what he needs to do to get this thing going the right way because it hasn't been working. Our numbers are dropping. And we're not winning. So this is no different. So I understand it's painful at times. You go in the restaurant, a new restaurant, the food's good, but maybe it's not their own time because they're just getting – they're working out the kinks. This is a situation that Giants fans have to understand. It's under new management. The menu is going to constantly be changing because they're trying to get this thing fixed. So fans got to realize that's just the way it is.
I think most of them do, too. You just come across some lunatics, and there's some people I've talked to in the media about it that are just like irate over what Zaidi's doing. He's doing what he was projected to do. The team's doing what it was projected to do. We all saw all of this coming. Why are we upset? Like, what's there to be upset about? Give the guy a chance. Did you want to stay the course? That wasn't looking too good. You're headed right for an iceberg. You already hit the iceberg. But there's no Leonardo DiCaprio. There's no Kate Winslet. I'm sorry. She's not walking through that door. There's no Billy Zane to kidnap a little boy and get into a boat so that, you know, he could live.
Oh, my God.
Low, your friend Billy Zane. He's a cool guy.
Low, you know, nothing about, you know nothing about food. Just grilled cheese and soup for my
Texas
analogy.
Day nominee. Chilton Autobody. Not
had
Saturday
to be.
Night.
Oh, so you look at me.
Possibly
he calls it out.
Time.
I punctuate with sound, and I get the dirty look. It's just so interesting sometimes when
he's
when
been exposed. I exposed him in the last break with his looks
that was
from
hard.
Last week.
That was hard. You
and
heard
then
me
his
with
garbage
the-
from this week, and he's wondering why I'm not setting him up on it. It's, well, you know, last week I could have used a little help. You hung me out to dry, so.
Did I hang you out to dry? Just kind
of
laid.
You just went ahead and you looked at me, and you gave me the look of, you're stupid, but I'm not going to engage it because I don't want you coming back at me, which is fine. It's a smart play.
You
smart
don't get,
play.
How many times?
But now
that,
you want me to be like, yeah, no, you know what? Wait, I can see Durant sitting out for the rest of the play. Seems reasonable.
No. Stop it, Dibs. How many times see? You've given me that? I'm coming at him now.
But
how
first
many,
you stopped
stop
pointing
it.
At me.
Okay,
see, exactly.
Me,
real strong.
Be quiet for
real
a
strong
second.
On the weakest guy in the room.
How many times you always give me that look?
Every day, all day.
And it's deserving. Was that necessary?
Yeah, I see that. That's just piling on.
That's my job.
It's a classic response to when you're getting bullied in the room. You lash back when you sense weakness.
Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. So there is the Derek Holland rant for the day. There is fight number 36 of the day.
Giants been outscored 42-5 in the first inning, Joe.
It's all right. That's not a big deal.
Take all the unders, Joe. Take all the unders.
I'm not. I have to bet this game today, too, now that I just remembered that dream.
Normally, you would tell the audience what you're referring to when you take a backhanded Federer shot at me. What Lowe's referring to is at the start of the year, I said you should take blanket unders, which so far this year, Joe, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe the Giants over has happened more frequently than the under. So, yeah, point it out to the audience, Lowe, how wrong I am. But do it the right way. Don't just throw out a line and push away from the mic all like right, an amateur.
All right. All right.
That's Let's Dibs, by the way, back. Throwing the mic down, everyone.
Yeah,
so it wasn't me.
You've both been throwing your headsets down all day.
All day.
My children.
Remarkably, remarkably unprofessional.
I do mine when the mic's off.
You still the fact that you still threw your headset down.
But the people want to know
is the problem.
That,
the people.
People just want their sports, I have a feeling. All right, what do we got today? It's Vincent versus Thornton. Great. Toronto.
Good
Giants
luck, Joe.
Are a favorite. Minus 120.
I like the under, Joe.
Over under 7.5. We'll get to this at around 9:45. No Papa yet? All right, waiting on Greg Papa. We can transition back to the Warriors as we get set to... I don't know. I really don't want to have to pick this game. I don't want to have to do this bet 162 anymore. I'm going to be completely honest. I'm so over this. I'm so tired of this. I'm so twisted up. Everyone keeps telling me just bet the opposite. I don't know what the opposite is anymore. I don't know what my true instinct is. You do this every day. You get all twisted up. You think, I kind of like the Giants side. Wait a minute. Maybe bet the opposite. Was my gut instinct about the Giants? It's no good.
Baseball's tough as well. And, you know, you've tried to run hot with the first inning. Will there be a run?
That's a hot take.
Follow up on it. Follow up on it. You're so quick to point. No, don't turn the mic off as
He's
you
coughing.
Cough and laugh
into
oblivion.
He's doing the right thing. He's
only coughing
that.
Because he can't contain his own laughter and his own material.
Please. I love you.
Elaborate.
Okay. I love you. Go.
It's a one-way relationship.
Yeah, so I'll
because
revisit it at
you.
9:45. I'll revisit it at
9:45.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. To the phones, the Greg Papa Report is brought to you by Gelati Construction Company, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork, solutions, and excellence. Greg Papa, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Pop, good morning and welcome to the show. We appreciate the time as always. We'll bring you into a conversation we were having a little while ago. When Steve Kerr met with the media yesterday talking about Kevin Durant, he pretty much told everyone to pump the brakes on this, not to expect them back, obviously, for game one, probably not for game two. Any idea? Do you think the possibility exists that we don't see him at all for this series against Portland?
Well, sure. It depends on how quickly his calf heals from this injury. So the Warriors set out a very vague press release. This was right after the Woj bomb came on Thursday morning after Durant's injury had us all rattled on Wednesday night into Thursday morning, and what Woj tweeted was that it was a mild strain of the calf. Well, the Warriors didn't use the word mild, but everything that they're kind of saying leads you to believe it's a grade one, which is also a vague term. I mean, grade two, you're getting into partial tears. It is stretched to the point where it's partially torn. So the recovery time for that is longer, 4 to 6 weeks. They didn't say grade one. They just said the MRI confirmed what we said last night, which is a calf strain. So they're not really telling us. So who knows? He has had a history. He's had it now 3 straight years of a calf strain. He had one similarly against Portland in the playoffs when the Warriors played him in 2017, and he missed games 2 and 3 and came back and played game 4. So the big thing is, though, they can win this series without him. Portland is just not strong on their front line with their forwards. They don't score with Al-Farouq Aminu and Mo Harkless. In fact, they started the second half in Denver on Sunday in a game 7. Neither one of those guys were on the floor. They went to Zach Collins and they went to Rodney Hood. Now, I think they are going to start the game with Harkless and Al-Farouq. And I it could very possibly be that Harkless guards Steph because they did put him on the ball quite a bit against Denver, and he's a long defender. So we'll see when Durant comes back. But I think they can get through this series without him. But then the next, obviously, in the NBA Finals against either Giannis or Kawhi, you're going to need Kevin Durant.
No question, Pop. But let's go back there and let's stay in that sphere, stay in that space. If it is strained, and it's strained a little worse than one, we don't know how bad it is. And if you look at KD's illustrious career, he's been to NBA Finals. He's won chips. He's been the NBA MVP of the Finals. He's already the MVP of the league. Him and his representation, you think about an agent, you think about just the things that are surrounding this. Is this a possibility that what does he have to gain? You know, the long off season, could he damage this? Can it tear, go to a 2? Does he have to weigh all this in? Is it possible when you look at KD, since he has pretty much nothing to prove, does he not play altogether?
Oh, come on, Lo. You played at the highest level. You were a hell of a competitor. He wants to win. He wants to play. This is the biggest stage since he's a little kid. It never gets old. You think Michael got tired when he got to 5? He didn't want the 6th one? You think Russell got tired with 10? He didn't want 11? Hell no. He wants to play. And it's a calf strain. It'll heal. What they don't want to do is bring it back too soon and have a tear. Then he's not available. But no matter what he does to the calf, at this point in the calendar, he's going to be fine by training camp. You're not worried about that. No, he'll play when he's ready to play and when the doctors feel like there's no risk of re-injury, when he's completely over it and be able to cut on it. Then the one worry would be, not worry, but the next level is after he's cleared and they feel like the calf is sufficiently healed, then where's he at with his cardio? And I don't worry about him as much. DeMarcus, the talk of DeMarcus coming back blows me away. I cannot imagine that he's going to be physically fit enough to go into a finals or a conference finals. I just can't imagine it. Or would you really trust him to do that? But with Durant, once he gets the green light to play, he's going to play. This is what Kevin Durant does.
Greg Papa here on 95.7 The Game. When you look at Sean Livingston and his contributions in Game 6 against Houston, do you see the ability for him to replicate that? And how do the matchups look for Sean in this series against Portland and their bench?
Well, they're going to play Evan Turner off the bench, and they're going to play Seth Curry off the bench. And Evan Turner is a little bit of a wild card. He can do anything. He's kind of a point forward. In fact, I think Evan Turner, when Durant does come back in this series, hopefully I think Evan Turner will guard him. Terry Stotts has done that before when they met in 2017, and he was one of the first, at least against the Warriors, to put an undersized guy, more of a small forward, and Durant is listed as a small forward. But Evan Turner is more of a – he's not great at any one thing, but he's very good at everything, and he's kind of their point forward glue guy. But the concern there, and Sean can deal with him, is Seth Curry. And how you guard him. He's a big part of their offense. There was a game 4 after their quadruple overtime game. They came back and fed him the ball, and he got going late third quarter. They were running floppies and screens and pin downs for him and not McCollum or Lillard. And there'll be times when the three of them are on the floor. In fact, I'm trying to find a time, and I haven't been able to see it, where Stotts does not have any bigs on the floor at all. And he plays small. He could do that with the three guards, Lillard, McCollum, Seth Curry. He could play Rodney Hood and Evan Turner. I don't think he'll do that against the Warriors' small lineup. But he's going to have to come up with a small lineup that does work. And there will be times when he does play all three of those great scorers. In fact, quite a bit of time. And he may finish games. And Seth is a feisty, fight-hard defender like his brother. And I think there will certainly be times when they guard each other. Seth usually starts the second quarter for them, and McCollum is in the game, and that's when you got to have Clay back into the game. So I think they start the same way tonight. Clay will be on Lillard. Andre will be on McCollum. But McCollum will come out at about 6 minutes to go in the quarter, and then he comes back in. He's the backup point guard. He runs the club there as a scoring one. And also, Evan Turner's on the floor and Seth. So my concern with Seth is just who in that second unit is going to be able to fight through all those screens that they run him through. I think you got to stay away from Quinn Cook. In this series, you were able to get some minutes from him because Steph got into foul trouble. Steph cannot get into foul trouble, but that's going to be obviously a big part of their plan. And how much do they just force Steph to switch on to McCollum and Lillard? There are times that he's guarded them. Obviously, they're in the same division, so we see them quite a bit. In some games, they let Steph pick up Lillard to start, then they switch. But this is a playoff game. I think right away, Lillard will start. Clay will start on Lillard. Andre will start on McCollum. And then you can hide Steph early in the game on one of those forwards that are pretty much just spot-up three-point shooters.
Greg Papa joining us here on 95.7 The Game. I want to get back to this series in just a second, but we will not speak to you again until Thursday after the Eastern Conference Final has already completed Game 1. Who is the more favorable matchup for the Warriors? Should they get by Portland, who would be the better matchup for them in the final, the Bucks or the Raptors?
Well, that's a good call. I would have to say it's even. I think both of those teams, their length bothers the Warriors and has bothered the Warriors. The Toronto matchup, the Raptors won both games, and they did win in Oakland without Kawhi Leonard. The game at Scotiabank was epic. Durant went off on them. The game went to overtime. And I came away thinking Kawhi Leonard is an excellent defensive player, but he's different in a lot of the respects than some other players like Clay. He's not a great, he's a very good on-ball defender with his long arms and big hands, the claw. But he can get picked off when he's trying to fight through a guy that runs you through a lot of screens. So I think you try to make him do that. Durant's not that kind of player, but Durant did light him up. I thought Siakam guarded him better in that game. Milwaukee's just so long. I think both teams the Warriors will beat. And the bottom line is Kawhi is just a very inconsistent outside shooter. And I think they isolate him way too much. It's just too much Kawhi Leonard. They got to get back to ball movement. Pop, you know, really empowered him as far as straight isolations, way more than he ever isolated any perimeter player he had, including Sean Elliott. Just never did it. But with Kawhi, he did it quite a bit and got away from their ball movement and body movement. And it was a vast departure. And I think Nick Nurse is having the same situation with him. I think they need to get him off the ball a little bit and try to move the ball and come back to him later in the shot clock. And then Giannis is just, he really is, he's a combination of LeBron James into Julius Irving. There are a few other players. He's just, and both those players were flawed outside shooters. He does have a way to get to certain spots and to be able to still score. And obviously he's so athletic and powerful, he's difficult to keep away. But I think in both of the situations, you just want to build a wall and not let them get into the paint. And that's where the brilliance of Draymond Green comes into play. So right now, before they play the game, Joe, I would say equally, and both teams will have home court advantage because of their length. The, both those teams, the Bucks and Raptors, are really long.
Bob, when it comes down to this particular series, Portland, what is going to be saving grace if they are going to stretch this series or have a chance to win? What is it going to come down to? Is bench play? What is the thing that concerns you?
Yeah, well, just not letting both of their guards go off in the same game. I think the one thing is they get their numbers, but they're inconsistent scores. They have been. You know, Dame was great in the first round against Oklahoma City, obviously, and CJ was better in the second round against Denver. It's just watch how they play. Watch how Portland plays versus the Warriors. And with Durant not playing Friday in Houston, the Warriors got the passes up to 320 on Friday night. And I think four? They had 260 for the game. And that is what we're talking about here. That is moving bodies and making the defense break down. So watch how the Warriors play, especially without Durant and his great isolation ability. And just watch how Portland plays. They ask their guards to really play a lot of one-on-one. It is really difficult. They take hard shots. Now, they're hard shot takers and makers. Lillard has stepped his range out where the analytics show he's been a better long shooter in these playoffs and comparable to Steph in a lot of categories the last couple of years. But those are difficult shots to make. And McCollum will weave his way through traffic. He's a tremendous mid-range scorer. Terry Stotts, their coach, who was with Mike Montgomery on the Warriors staff, and he went off to Dallas and won a championship there with Carlisle. He is known as a great offensive coach, and they're going to move the ball and move bodies and, you know, do more off-the-ball movement a lot more than Houston ever did. But still, when you watch him play against the Warriors, there's a vast difference in the lack of ball movement, and I think that's what it comes down to here. The Warriors can load up. These guys are great scorers. Lillard could go off. McCollum could go off. You can't allow them to go off in the same game. If they're doing that and they combine for 70 or 80, then the other guys that the Warriors are going to rotate off of are going to have opportunities. So if you just get them into a night where one guy's on, one guy's off, you should be able to handle this team.
Join them today, noon to 3 p.m. alongside Bonte Hill. They'll speak with Mark Spears at 2 and Orlando Watkins, who is Damian Lillard's high school coach, at 2:30. Greg Papa with us here on 95.7 The Game. Always appreciate the time, Pop. Thank you so much for jumping on.
And we're at Oracle Arena today. I'm not sure you said that. We'll be there the entire day today, starting at noon.
Okay, starting at
noon.
We're
getting there early.
Live on
Crown
the
Crown Royal Club. Doubles for everybody.
Oh, let's get it.
Scotchy, scotch, scotch.
Thanks, Pop.
Take care.
Okay, greatest interview ever. There's a lot to dissect about that. First of all, you just got Papa slapped. Just Oof, love, that was tough.
Mm, pre-casket.
Now take us through. How did it feel? You asked the question. Pop was shamed for you, slapped you, and then talked for 5 minutes.
No, I feel great because it wouldn't surprise me at all, with all due respect, if KD didn't play. It wouldn't surprise me at all. And I think for anyone to say that it would, I just think you got to look at the situation. If it's a grade one, a grade two, and it says if it's 3 to 4 weeks that he alluded to, I don't know if KD would play. And I don't blame him. I'm not sitting here. I don't blame him. And Papa hasn't played. He doesn't know. If you got a guy.
Strong card to play. I like it.
No, I'm just saying if you have an individual and he's going to be a free agent and you've already won titles and you're in a situation where your calf is close to being ripped, and if you go out there and you can't and you don't feel comfortable, he hasn't practiced at all. Steve Kerr said this guy has not even been on the court yet. So he goes out there and he's like, man, I just can't go next week. And he's like, okay, you do not want this guy out there getting injured. I don't think that this team and the organization would jeopardize that, whether he's coming back or not. So I think that if you look at it like that, I just said, if he does play, great. If he doesn't, it wouldn't surprise me either way. I'm serious.
That was one of the two highlights. The other was Pop telling me I had asked a great question.
He did. He would love that.
That's a career highlight right there.
You were pretty fired up about that.
Can you give me the text of the day nominee sound?
Sure. Big for you.
Career highlight sound right there.
He actually said great call, not great question, though.
Fine. Then he thought the call was great, which is even more so because he usually doesn't like my opinions. So that is fantastic. That tears. Tears streaming down my face right now.
You've had an emotional segment after watching that video of the kid breaking a board, the little five-year-old. That got you locked up, too.
Prior to having kids, like the little stuff that surfaces of kids in videos, I never really watched them. You know, you don't have kids. You don't see those things. And then you have kids, and there's this video circulating. It's on my Twitter feed right now. This little white belt karate. He's in karate class wearing his white belt. He's in his thing. And he's trying to throw his leg up in the air and then come down and break a board
right, with
his heel, essentially, right? And he can't do it. He's a little kid. He can't break it. He can't put enough force on it. And he starts crying, and he gets upset. And rather than some awful moment taking place, which is what the world could have done, everyone rallies around the kid. All the other kids in the class start chanting his name. The coach tries to hype him up, gets him realigned back in position. He tries a little bit harder. He's just short. And the coach just screams, do it again. And he does it one more time. He smashes the board. Uh-huh. And then all of his friends come running out and dogpile.
That's
awesome.
Freaking great.
And your boy's near tears.
I wasn't near tears. I had tears. I cry for that stuff now. I love that stuff.
Wow, that's a good call.
I don't think I needed him in here commenting on that.
Yeah, and I had asked
you. But play that for everything else I say for the remainder of time.
That's a good call.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Thank you.
It's not the part that we were hoping that you would capture, gentlemen, as we were discussing.
It's unfortunate that broke
back and forth.
You.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This
yeah,
is
it's unfortunate.
It's too bad. It's all right though. It all speaks to the Papa slapping, and it was audio that confirmed that Lo got smoted.
I think there's a new
nice
bit
slap
we can come up with to see who can get slapped by Papa first.
That'd be,
it's pretty
verbally
good.
Each time we interview him, because I took it on the chin last Thursday, and I take it on the chin quite a bit from him. Lo was forced into sharing his take with Papa. Papa had no time for
it's great.
Slapped you with baby powder. No, he still got baby powder on
the
your face.
The bit is great because on Thursday, I'll probably come with something like
you'll go in milk toast. You don't want him getting on you. You'll come in light and you'll let us go ahead and handle that.
I can already see
it now.
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not prone to such wild takes as Lorenzo Neal, and I'm not the hot taker that you are, certainly, but I could drum something up to get Pop to try to slap me down as well. That way I can join the club.
I don't know if it was a slap.
Oh, see, there it is.
Let me say it here again. Let me hear it.
Oh, come on, Lo.
I don't know if that's highest...
Yeah, the next part was you're wasting my time.
No one needs it, Lo. You play at the highest level. I don't know if it was a slap.
Definitely a slap.
It was a more of a, what do you think, Dips? It was push?
I think he threw up in his mouth a little bit. Let's hear it again.
Oh, come on, Lo. You played at the highest level. You were a hell of a competitor. He wants to win. He wants to play.
I could do without the compliment he throws in there. That's unnecessary.
Hit the decks like nothing.
If you're going to go in, go all the way in.
No,
you don't need to talk about him playing at the highest level.
Oh, come on, Lo.
Everyone knows.
And it wasn't, but I went.
Come on, Lo.
Okay. Just cut it at that part, and then we can add in the next sentence on our own.
Right. Oh,
right?
Please,
can you guys
no,
do that?
No,
can
no,
you just cut it
no.
at the, oh, come on, Lo? All right.
No, come on, Lo.
No. I'm thinking about retiring now.
And then a high note.
Oh,
here.
Come on, Lo.
So you just shut your yapper.
Oh, come on, Lo.
Come on in, China.
We're getting it.
Oh, come on, Lo.
Papa says enough.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Couldn't even top rope the top rope.
Oh, come on, Lo.
Stupidest thing I ever heard.
Oh, come on, Lo.
This show should be canceled.
Oh, come on, Lo.
Go back to Fresno.
Oh, come on, Lo.
This ain't the moo.
Oh, come on, Lo.
Man, multiple slaps.
I know. Well, you guys have fun with this. You know what? And I enjoy it. I'm glad you guys get to have fun at my expense.
Oh, come on, Lo.
If I wasn't contractually obligated, I wouldn't even do this hit.
Come on, Lo.
This is, you're getting a kick out.
He's running hot. Normally, you don't see Joe run this much material. This is
so great because I'm always on the wrong side of those interviews. Always. And for him to tell me it was the greatest call he had ever heard, for a guy who's been around sports a long time, to say greatest call I've ever heard in any form of TV, radio.
I think you added a little extra.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't remember it that way. That he, to say that in one interview, to put me on the pedestal of Cronkite, and I'm on the Rushmore with such other greats that he's in the great Bill King, I'd imagine. He was thinking that's something that Bill King would say, and now Fortinball's out here saying it. This is incredible. It's like I'm living through this all over again. It's just a high honor, but at the same time, I don't know if I enjoyed that more or watching you get slapped down. I mean, they're both so great.
Lo. Thanks, 925. Oh, come on, Lo. Papa's saying you're stupid. Thank you, 925. Yeah, good job, buddy. Oh, that's what you want
to
do, dude?
It's a text of the day nominee. Wow. I have to play the sounder.
Wow.
If you don't read text, I don't play the sounder.
You got him fired up over there. Hey, the thing about
that's
it
what
is,
I do. I'm a hype
but
man.
I am not saying that KD doesn't want to play. I never stated. Man,
that's exactly what you're intimating.
No, I'm not. I'm intimating the fact that this is a guy who has a grade between a grade one and grade two strength.
That's hypotheticals. We don't know that. Come on,
Lo. Come on, Lo.
You didn't go to medical
Focus
school.
Focus on the grilled cheese.
Oh, come on, Lo.
It's not the meetup.
This is going to be fun for you guys. You guys are going to love this for a while.
I might do the rest of the show like this. God. I might have him say that about 1,000 more times and me just throw in a take afterwards. I think we could rate that way.
I think so.
Come on, I'm not saying we take down Stern, but I think we could really get up there. We could challenge some of the greats. Rush Limbaugh's going down, for sure.
Yeah, you think so? I got one for you. Come on, Lo.
Oh, you want them to give that to you?
Yeah.
Okay, so do it, and then Lo will follow it up. Sure.
Oh, come on, Lo.
Clay and Steph, they need to score at least 50. They don't win the game.
Oh, come on, Lo.
Garbage.
Man did it.
Yeah. It was a segment that was going well.
Jeez, that was fun for a while.
And now I'm at the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, come on, Lo. We don't know how to swim.
Oh, come on, Lo.
Actually, you know what? I got one. Give it to me.
Oh, come on, Lo.
We already said we were doing that at 9:45.
Ah, that's right. That's right.
It's on the schedule.
Come on, Lo.
You saw the show sheet.
Never
mind.
It's a rhetorical show sheet.
Yeah.
Imaginary.
Oh, come on, Lo.
You know that KD can opt in for $31.5 million, right? You
come
know
on,
that,
Lo.
Right?
Oh, come on, Lo.
And I just think that takes a little bit of the steam away from your argument because it's not like if he plays and he gets hurt, now he's SOL because no one will want to sign him. He can just simply opt in for 31.5.
Right, dude. Does he want to go through the offseason in a boot because he's got a strain or ripped calf? That's awesome. I'm not sitting here saying that Kevin Durant doesn't want to play. Kevin Durant wants to play. He's a champion. We see the guy loves playing basketball. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this. You listen to Steve Kerr saying the guy's not even on the court yet. He's like, we got to pump our brakes on this guy. You see they're talking about even Boogie trying to get back out. It's not that he doesn't want to play. Both these guys want to play. I'm not questioning that he doesn't want to play. I'm saying, does he have anything to lose? And I think it's no. If whether he plays or not, I think KD is in a situation right now. Did you see you saw the way he took over the playoffs, 41-50, you saw 45 points. And the way he went about it, he has nothing to lose. So I'm saying if it's tight, if it's strained, whatever it may be, KD now has a pass. That's all I'm saying.
Does he want more chips than LeBron?
Of course.
I wonder, where do you think that ranks on his priority list? Do you think that's you would assume that would be at the top.
I think
I want to have the most championships that I possibly can, but you also have to wonder with some of the decision-making, not to say it's bad decision-making, but if you are, in fact, choosing to maybe go join a team like the Knicks, for example, you would probably be decreasing, in my opinion, your percentage chances
no
of winning
doubt.
Another Larry versus increasing or maintaining. So I wonder where that ranks on the list.
And I think we find out in July where it ranks on the list. Whether or not he comes back and plays or not, to Lo's point, let's say he doesn't come back and they win the title and he decides to leave. You could say, well, maybe the chips aren't that important to him because he's walking away from a championship environment. Maybe he comes back or doesn't come back and they don't win the championship and he decides to stay, then people will say, well, winning a championship to him is more important than being the alpha dog of your own team and trying to do it again in another city.
If he doesn't come, if he doesn't play anymore this year and he still comes back, no one's going to look at him badly. You see what I'm saying? If the guy's injured and his calf's hurt and he says, you know, and he shuts it down, he tries to go, he practices, and all of a sudden still he doesn't have the elevation. He says, I'm hurting this team, and he doesn't play and he still comes back. I don't think people are going to look at him negatively.
Don't look at the text line. Is all I can say to you. It's not.
Well, that's a good call.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, speaking of good calls, Chill Not a Body text line 95795 suggested this a little while ago. Dibs has the Warriors in 5. Lowe has the Warriors in 7. We're trying to get to a point where they bet each other. Interesting twist. Anna has the Warriors in 6. How about the winner gets the two losers to perform a foot massage on air, one person per foot? That was a Chilton Auto Body suggestion. So if Lowe would win, if the Warriors win in 7, Anna handles 1 foot, Dibs handles 1 foot. If the Warriors win in 5, Lowe is handling one of Dibs' feet, Anna's handling the other. If it's in 6, Anna gets the foot rub from Lowe and Dibs.
First off, I don't want a foot rub from either of you guys. Secondly, I ain't rubbing anybody's
feet. Not much of a winning bet.
No, not doing it.
And somehow that wasn't a text of the day nominee. The sound didn't go, so. Mm-mm. Yeah, no. I think I'm gonna Steve concur with Anna on this one.
Steve
and say we're on to Cincinnati.
Well, that's a good call. Yeah.
Thank you, Pop.
No, that's not. I think we should do that.
You got outvoted here.
I'm surprised because if you simply look at the odds, you two are both favorites over him. He's the biggest underdog of the group, and he's the most confident about making the bet, which either means he's completely crazy, which certainly needs to warrant some consideration, or he's that sure of where he's going for good reason. But you guys have sizable odds advantages over him.
But it's the risk reward of it. Mm-hmm. And to Anna's point, it's like, oh yay, I win. Exactly. Stay away from me, both of you two.
Yeah, okay,
and that's so. And so
I could see Anna's point, but not yours. No.
Oh come on, Lo.
I'm the only one who has an actual
old?
Point.
Over under when that gets old? A week?
20 minutes ago.
20 minutes ago?
No, still good.
No. This is the rest of the show.
It's actually more like 14 minutes ago when Lo ruined it.
You'll have a chance to retort. We need to find a bet by the end of the show. We got to find something. It doesn't have to be foot rubbing. You don't have to get naked with each other. I mean, you know, maybe something common, casual.
What? Right. What?
And who?
Draws on the head. Let's just do that. We've been trying to get to that at some point.
No.
Draws
on the head.
We've been trying to get to that.
Seriously, does it have to be a disgusting
thing? What should it be? Right in 6.
A hug?
If I win, I get a hug.
I mean, you're a mind reader, Joe. You were able to push a piece of paper before Ann even said a word and be able to
so
nail
obvious.
Her.
Really? I mean, it was so obvious.
Did he not nail it? He nailed it.
What do you mean? The winner gets a bagel. The winner gets a bagel from both of the losers.
Whipped cream cheese.
All right, we're going to get organized. I'm trying. I'm looking out to the crew. There's not a single suggestion from anyone else.
Well, that's a good call.
Yeah. Yes, Pop. Thank you. You and me, Pop. Ride or die.
I'm with you, Joe.
Ride or die. Reasonable discourse.
All right, come on, Lo.
We got to get to the bottom of this. Your thoughts on the series, our breakdowns, plus Amin Al-Hassan. All that's coming up next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.